Well, we've been talking about the danger of following sensationalistic teachings and getting caught up with every kind of fad. Today, we center on the vine. Today, we center on abiding in Jesus.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it's very easy to point out what's wrong, to criticize, to say this is an error, that's an error. It's easy in the natural to do it. This food is no good. This cooking is no good. This service is no good. But can we produce the real? Can we point to that which is most excellent? Do we know what we should give ourselves to, heart, soul, mind, and strength as believers? Today, we're going to focus on the one thing that matters more than anything else in life. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Follow us on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, or Twitter, if you like, Dr. Michael L. Brown. Friends, yesterday we really opened up some controversial issues. Of course, we're not afraid to do that on The Line of Fire, but we do our best to do it with clarity, with grace, with circumspection, so we're not just bashing. If we tear down, we want to build up. And I talked as a Jewish follower of Jesus and as a charismatic about often the lack of discernment in charismatic circles. And that was in the first hour. The second hour, I talked about sensationalistic Jewish roots teaching. So I absolutely believe in the life and power of the Spirit for today, and I absolutely believe in the Jewish roots of the faith, and I deplore the error in the extreme. Well, it's easy to expose error, but I want to point us in the right direction today. It's Tuesday, which means teaching emphasis, which means emphasis on the Scriptures, emphasis on opening up the Word. And I want to look at some of the words of Paul and some of the words of Jesus. And I want to encourage every one of you listening, if you're a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you to deepen your roots in him. If you don't know him, I want to encourage you with who he is and how your whole life can be revolutionized through faith in him. I'd like to ask you a question. If you, over the years, have succeeded in having a consistent, solid, intimate relationship with the Lord, what's been a key for you, or a couple of keys that have helped you in your own life to keep your focus? Because it's so easy to get distracted with many, many other things and lose sight of that which matters most, isn't it? I remember one time I was alone in my office, my study in Maryland. I was on my face praying and surrounded by books in my study. And it was very easy for me to be thinking about, I want to read this, want to check this. Oh, that's right, right. I want to look this up. Ooh, got to work on this, write this. And I said, Lord, I just want to focus everything, all of my conscious focus, I want to be on you. I'm just focusing on prayer. I don't want to think about anything else whatsoever. Excuse me. Getting choked up thinking about that. So, I cannot believe what happened next. As I was praying, I opened my eyes for a moment. This is within a minute, maybe within 30 seconds. And I saw, I think it's a 12-volume commentary on the Mishnah that I have in Hebrew. And it's called Yachin and Boaz. And those were the names of the pillars in Solomon's temple. And before I know it, I'm looking up in a Hebrew Bible encyclopedia to find out more about these pillars and look at the text in which they occur and what do we know about them. I mean, as obscure a subject as you could imagine. And this is when I was supposed to be totally focused on prayer, totally focused on the Lord. We can be so easily distracted. What have you done in your own life that has helped you keep your focus on the Lord? We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. And remember, friends, these weeks, any of your gifts to help us with The Line of Fire broadcast, to help us reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to help us build up the body, to help us sow seeds of revival and Jesus revolution in the culture, to help us raise up, send out missionaries around the world. Any of your gifts will be multiplied through the help of an anonymous, gracious donor. So thanks for all who have stood with us and thrown yourselves in so far. It means the world to us. It encourages us greatly. We need to hear from many more of you. 1-800-278-9978, the number to call throughout the broadcast to stand with us. 1-800-278-9978. I'm going to get to John 15 in a little while. To me, one of the most central passages in Scripture. But I want to start in Philippians chapter 3. Paul is writing from prison. How extraordinary that he's put in prison, and yet 2,000 years later, we're still reading his letters in multiple languages around the world and recognizing God speaking to us through those letters. So he writes, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. There's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh." Who's he talking about in such strong terms? He's talking about Jewish teachers who claimed to be following Jesus, who told Gentiles they had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses in order to be saved, thereby perverting the gospel of grace. And he says, "For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Messiah Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh." Elsewhere in his letters, he says, circumcision matters. It plays a role, but not in one's spiritual status. There's a benefit in being among the circumcised in the ancient world because it was the Jewish people that had the word of God. And Paul says that in Romans, the third chapter. There's much benefit in every way. But in terms of spiritual status, in terms of making someone closer to God, in terms of putting someone on a higher spiritual plane, no, absolutely not. And in that sense, it is the believers who are the spiritual circumcision, although his counsel to Jews was, if you're saved circumcised, don't become uncircumcised. If you're saved uncircumcised, don't become circumcised. Jews who get saved can continue to live as Jews in the Lord, Gentiles as Gentiles, in terms of Jewish law and custom. But now we are all under the Messiah's law. But notice what he says, "We glory in Messiah Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." I do not put any confidence in the fact that I am a male, or that I am a male Jew, or that I am a male Jew non-slave. No, or that I have a PhD, or that I've written 20 books or whatever. I mean, who cares in terms of who we are? That's not who we are. I put all my stock in the fact that Jesus, Yeshua, is my Savior. I put all my stock in the fact that I've been forgiven and declared righteous by God, and now I am his son, and I get to serve him with all my heart and all my soul. That's the source of my identity. And Paul explains, if you want to put confidence in the flesh, he said, "Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more." He says, "I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, persecuting the messianic believers. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless." Hey, he's saying, if you want to boast, I can boast. You want to talk about pedigree. You want to talk about background. You want to talk about living by the book. That was me. And I was so devoted to God that I thought this Jesus movement, the people that called themselves the way, that were called the way, I thought they were so off. I stood against them with everything in me. But whatever was to my profit, I can now consider loss for the sake of Messiah. Wow. Well, those are things in terms of pedigree, in terms of identity, in terms of anything to boast of. Cast them aside. cast them aside entirely. They're, I consider them lost for the sake of Messiah. You know what it's almost like? It's almost like you had $1 million and you were dying of a disease that no one could cure, and then someone came up with a cure for that disease, but it was going to cost you $1 million. That's, I gladly consider that a loss to live. Or you know, maybe you had different relationships before you're married and you're interested in this one or that one, and then you met the person of your dreams, which meant saying goodbye to everybody else. Joyfully consider all those relationships a loss. I remember right before Nancy and I got married, one of my friends, a guy, said, you know, are you nervous about this? And, you know, that's it for the rest of your life. There's not going to be any other option. I said, nervous? This is the greatest dream come true that we could be married. This is wonderful. Whatever the things were that were our place of identity, our place of boasting, we now consider them lost for the sake of Messiah. He said, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Messiah Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, in the Messiah, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. He said, I've lost everything, and I consider it rubbish that I may gain the Messiah. Remember the parables that Jesus gave. And in the book that I'm finishing, Keep Praying, thank you so much for praying as I'm working on this Jewish outreach tool. I'll be able to announce more about it very, very soon. But keep praying for me as I write. I had a fruitful time, was able to turn in about 4:30 in the morning, and thankfully didn't have any early morning appointments. I'm taking advantage of every minute I have to get this done with excellence for the glory of the Lord. And in one section, I was talking about how the first century rabbis and subsequent centuries were famous for using parables. And Jesus Yeshua, as a rabbi, was one who was called by that title in an honorific way, used parables in an amazing, incredible way. And it's so fascinating that scholars, 2,000 years later, still debate the meaning of some of his parables and still try to shed light on what he was communicating. And yet little children know the parables. It's amazing, and that's the power of a parable. You see it in rabbinic literature, and you see it par excellence in the ministry of Jesus. So think of this. He talks about the parable of the treasure hidden in a field, and a man finds it, and it's so valuable that he sells everything he has to buy that field. I mean, just picture. Let's say you own a home, and you've owned it for many years, and now you've got a net worth with that home of a couple $100,000. Or maybe you have some retirement account you've been pouring into for many, many years, and you've got a few $100,000 you're worth. I know some of you are worth multiple millions, and some of you would be glad to have an extra dime. But just for argument's sake, let's say you're worth $250,000, and you could dissolve that and turn it into cash. And you discover a treasure in a field that's just publicly owned and up for sale, and the treasure is worth $10 billion. $10 billion. And it's perfectly legal for you to buy that field for that treasure. And the field's going to cost $250,000. You got to clear out every dime in your account and liquidate all your assets to turn them into cash to buy that field. Would you be mourning? No, I have worked so hard for that money all those years. We've sat on this house for so long until it finally had some value. No, you'd be laughing under your breath. You'd be giddy. As you skipped to the bank, people would wonder, what is with that person? What a deal. Sell everything you have and liquidate your assets to come up with $250,000 to buy something worth, what did I say, $10 billion? That's what happens when you discover the Lord. That's what happens when you find Jesus. That's what happens when a Jewish person discovers him as Messiah. That's what happens when a Muslim person realizes he's more than just a prophet. That's what happens when an atheist realizes he's the one true God. Joyfully leave everything. When his love, when his reality struck my heart to the depth, December 17th of 1971, and I knew that he was real and that my sin was displeasing him and ugly in his sight, and was filled with the joy and love of the Lord, in a moment of time, I said, that's it, Lord. I will never put a needle in my arm again. I'm yours. And I was transformed from that day on. Jesus said it's like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he finally finds the dream pearl, the ultimate pearl, joyfully sells everything he has to get that one pearl. What a deal. Do you know Jesus like that, friends? Is he that real to you? Is he that wonderful to you? Is he that extraordinary to you? Is he so wonderful that the thought of leaving everything else to have him seems like the deal of the century? But we'll talk more about pressing into him, knowing him, putting him first, keeping him central today on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, just to let you know, I've got a brand new article up on Town Hall, townhall.com. It's right on the homepage. Tolerance is still not a two-way street. Tolerance is still not a two-way street. You'll find it eye-opening. As always, you can read it and join in the comments there at townhall.com. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm focusing today on what matters more than anything, on having an intimate, deep relationship with Jesus the Lord, which means intimacy with God the Father, which means walking in the Spirit. We serve one God and one God only. And as we walk in fellowship with the Lord, Jesus is exalted to the glory of God the Father by the Holy Spirit. That is how our wonderful God works. I want to say plainly, it must be the number one thing we give our energy to in terms of what matters most. Otherwise, we will be distracted and pulled away. For me, doing ministry work, that means I don't clock in and clock out. That means I don't put in a 40 or a 50-hour week and then go home and do other things. It means that, like last night, 4 in the morning, I was writing. It may mean that, and by the way, I don't mean this as a hardship. It's my joy. But I'm speaking of this to talk about a challenge I personally can have, and then you can see how you can relate in your own life. Because it's ministry work, well, you know, I'm praying for God's work to go forward. I'm praying for anointing in what I do. We're praying for funds to come in to enable us to do certain things. We're constantly focused on ministry related issues. I was meeting with some leaders last night from 9 to like 10:30 in the evening, and ministry related stuff. It's very easy to get so caught up in ministry work, as we say, get so caught up in the work of the Lord that we don't focus sufficiently on the Lord of the work. Sometimes we are so busy being Christians, we are so busy being believers that we get our sights off of the one who matters most. And I don't mean that everyone is going to have endless hours to pray every day or endless hours to meditate in the scripture every day or endless hours to go share Jesus with others. But come on, what matters most in your life? Maybe you can think back to the early days of romance when you met the person you're going to marry. Didn't you think about that person all the time? You're working your job, you're thinking about them. You're studying in school, you're thinking about them. You're driving in the car, you're thinking about them. In the old days, before we had cell phones, you know, you get to a pay phone and call just when you had 2 minutes to talk. When something's really in your heart, it's on your mind, isn't it? One of my friends many years ago, he's with the Lord, but he said, we always have time to worry. You know, you're doing other things and something's eating away at you. He said, worry the word. That was his phrase, worry the word. Just have that before you, central. When our kids were little, Nancy realized that the part of the house that she was most in and out of back and forth was the kitchen. And she'd just have her Bible open there in the kitchen because you got two little kids a year and a half apart, and obviously you may want to nap the moment they nap. As soon as they get in, maybe you got to clean the house or maybe you've got to cook or something. So you just don't have the time that you used to have. Some of you are nodding as you're holding two kids and in your arms and trying to figure out what to do with the third as I'm talking to you. Thanks for listening, though. I appreciate that. It's meaningful. But she would just leave the Bible open in the kitchen. So aside from time when she could really focus in on reading and thinking about the Lord, she, just every time she walked by, it was open. And she'd pause and she'd read some verses, and she found it to be helpful to enable her to better keep her focus. One thing matters more than anything else in this world, friends, and that is really knowing the Lord, really coming into intimate relationship with Him and making the number one priority in your life, building a deeper relationship with Him. One time Nancy and I were talking, and she said to me, "Do you feel if you did less stuff in ministry and spent more time alone with the Lord, seeking Him, praying, fellowshipping with Him, that what you do would be far more effective?" I said, "Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the challenge of doing it." And when we make it a priority, it becomes what you could call a holy addiction. Are you comfortable with that? A holy addiction where, and King James, it speaks of some being addicted to the work of the Lord, where the more you spend time with the Lord, the more you want to spend time with the Lord. The more you fall in love with Him, the more you realize His goodness. One of my friends, S.J. Hill, who's written on Enjoying God, talks about the scene in Revelation 4 before the throne, where the 24 elders are before the throne, and they're continually saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts," and then they're casting their crowns at His feet, and you think, they're doing that over and over and over. Holy, oh, that's holy, hope, not holy, hope. Well, throw the crowns, pick the crowns back up. Holy, hope. No, that's not the picture. The way SJ explains it, it's like you look at a beautiful diamond, you turn it, and you're stunned. Again, I remember being at the Grand Canyon. I've been there twice in my life, but the last time, I think around 1995, I remember being there and wow, just looking out at the canyon. And then I just moved like 10 feet. And I was stunned. Everything changed. And then move a few other feet. Everything changed. Stunned. I was stunned and went from being stunned to stunned to stunned. I thought the only right response for someone standing by the Grand Canyon is to worship God, the Creator. And SJ said that God reveals just another facet of His beauty and majesty and holiness and purity. I'm like, we're stunned. Oh, man. Holy. Oh, whoa, holy. He's holy. What a God. And then just turns again. Oh, holy, just stunned and overwhelmed. That's how inexhaustible His riches and goodness are. That's how extraordinary He is. That's why Paul says, "I've lost all things for Jesus the Messiah, and I consider them rubbish that I may gain Him and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Messiah, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." I want to know Him. I want to know Jesus and the power of His resurrection. Friends, let me encourage you to put first things first. Let me encourage you to put first things first, to seek Him first. If there's something in your life that has helped deepen your relationship with Him and helped keep your focus, feel free to give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. I've got a lot I want to share with you. Remember, you can catch all 2 hours later online at askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. I want to thank all of you who've responded so far, who've called, who've written. We've shown some letters today by folks that wanted to encourage me and just said, "Hey, when we found out that someone was multiplying the funds, all the more did we want to give." So I'm asking you to stand with us. We are probably approaching 1/5 towards our goal, which is great because a few days ago we were at 1/10. But that's because each of you that can are standing with us. Remember, every gift of $10 becomes $15. Every gift of $20 becomes $30. Every gift of $100 becomes $150. So whatever you're able to do, it'll make a big difference for us and enable us to continue to be on the air ministering to you and, by God's grace, hundreds of thousands or even millions of others in coming days. So call us at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. If you've got a testimony you'd like to share, call the broadcast. By all means, let's hear it. 1-800-278-9978 or right on our homepage, askdrbrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to the line of fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Focusing on what matters most. Focusing on the most essential thing in God's sight and the thing that's going to last forever, which is knowing Jesus, and out of knowing him, we make him known. Everything flows out of our relationship with the Lord. We may do a lot of things that look impressive. We may be great in the eyes of man and little in the eyes of God. He's not so much looking at our accomplishments. He's looking at our devotion to him, out of which will flow all kinds of good works. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Let me continue to read Paul's words. And again, if something has helped you focus on the Lord and helped you build intimacy with the Lord, by all means, give us a call and share that with our listeners. If it's something that can be shared with others, in other words, not something so unique to you that it has no relevance for the rest of our listeners, but something that could be shared with others, give us a buzz, 866-34-TRUTH. Paul writes, I want to know Christ. I want to know the Messiah. Now, this is as one who knows him, but he wanted to go deeper. Just like Moses on Mount Sinai, saying to the Lord, show me your glory. Hadn't he seen enough of the glory of God? Hadn't he seen enough of the power of God? Hadn't he seen enough of the majesty of God? It just created a deeper desire to know him more, to experience his glory and power and reality more. And if knowing Jesus for you is just an intellectual proposition, I would say you don't really know him. If knowing Jesus for you is just a doctrinal proposition, I would say you don't really know him. If you can't speak of him in relational terms and speak of God your Father in relational terms, then I would say you don't really know him. When Jesus describes eternal life in John 17:3, how does he describe it? This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus, the Messiah, whom you have sent. Paul writes, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Messiah Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Messiah Jesus. This image here of straining toward what is ahead, it's the image of a runner. Corinth had regular games, Olympic-style games there. The Olympic Games were held in ancient Greece, and Corinth was a city that had Olympic-type games. People would be familiar with the image in Corinth and Philippi with the larger Olympic running concept. And Paul is saying here, I strain towards what's ahead. Have you ever seen a race, and it's very, very close at the finish line, and the runner thrusts his chest forward, just pushes with all his, throws himself forward to try to win? Paul said, that's how I live. Not striving for God to like him, not striving for God to accept him, but striving with all his might to take hold of that for which Messiah Jesus took hold of him. Why did God save you? What's his purpose in redeeming you? Why did he bring you to himself? Paul said, with everything in me, I'm pressing forward, straining forward to take hold of that purpose. That's how it'll be realized. When you say the number one issue in my life is taking hold of Jesus for the very things for which he took hold of me, you will see your goals, his goals in you, realized. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Have you ever gone to an amusement park, carnival, or something like that, and they have these giant stuffed animals that you win if you could just, take three balls and knock down three bottles or something like that, or get things through a certain hole as it's moving around and spinning. And it looks so easy. It looks so ridiculously easy that you'd think that everybody would be walking around with one of those giant stuffed animals, and this guy would be out of business within a day. The fact that he's been doing it for years and the fact that you see very, very few people walking around with those giant stuffed animals means it's not as easy as it looks. Well, on the one hand, God's grace is there for us. God will help us. God will enable us. God will encourage us. God will carry us. On the other hand, he expects us to show that we care. He expects us to make an effort towards him. And in that sense, there's a lot of battle, a lot of resistance that tries to stop us from really walking intimately with the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about majoring on the majors today. We talked about excesses, extremes, sensationalism, error that we can fall into yesterday. Today we're talking about majoring on the majors, 866-34-TRUTH. What has helped you keep your focus and deepen intimacy with the Lord? Joyce in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air, Joyce.
Yes, I met you when you were in the Boston area.
Well, wonderful.
I had to take
Thank
a taxi
you.
In to meet you.
Oh, I remember. Yes, when we did the listeners' rally.
That's
and
right.
You took a taxi over there. Yes, I remember meeting you, and that really blessed me that you made that effort. And if I recall, you're probably past 30 years old, too, so it was a bit of a trip to make.
I'll be 75 soon.
Oh, God bless you. So you went out on your own and took a taxi. How long a drive was it?
It's about an hour, because I live in Ipswich on the North Shore.
Oh, my. Bless your heart. You're almost 75,
really,
a one-hour taxi drive, so that wasn't cheap either. Just to be with the listeners, it meant a lot to me. When I met you, and it means even more to hear from you again. Thanks so much, Joyce.
I have purchased several things from you since then, but you were asking what we do to stay focused, or I'm not how sure you worded at the beginning, but what I do is I walk the beach and pray a lot there, and then my main thing is sharing Jesus with others.
Yeah.
One time a whole family... One room I was in with a family after a funeral, the whole room emptied out because I was so excited about Jesus. The only person that didn't leave was in a wheelchair. And I think he must have been a Christian because he said, oh, you'll be all right. Otherwise, he might have been mad that he was stuck with me.
Mm.
My husband died 9 years ago, but he teased me, if trees could be converted, I'd tell the trees also.
Oh. Well, yeah, as you give away your faith more and more, God's blessing and joy is there. And what a testimony to our listeners that this is for everybody. In fact, I think your average person would be more prone to listen to an older person and would be more taken aback that this person cared enough to speak. So Joyce, when you walk on the beach, how does that help you keep your focus?
Well, I just appreciate being there, and I have been sharing with people. At 9/11, I went right to the beach and met an older lady that we still keep in touch. So there's just the two of us on the beach, and we still keep in touch with each other.
Well, good. Joyce, you keep walking with the Lord, and you keep sharing your faith, and that's a wonderful testimony for many. And may the Lord just enrich your life every day that you seek him. Thank you so
now,
much
do you
for the
have
call.
Any material on... This universalism that Rob Bell is, because some Christians that know the Bible even better than I do seem to be saying people go to hell and then they won't like it and go to heaven.
And why even share the gospel with people here? Joyce, I did 2 hours of broadcasting on this. Are you able to get online to listen?
No, I'm not.
Okay, are you able to listen to a CD on your computer?
I've gotten some CDs. I can hear CDs.
Okay, tell you what, Joyce. I want you to stay on the line and give your contact info to Andrew, and our ministry will take the shows I did on the Rob Bell book, I'll put them on a CD and send them to you as a gift, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, so stay on hold there. Andrew will be with you in a moment, and he'll get your contact info, all right?
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right, Randy, you got that. The Rob Bell shows. It's two full shows there. All right, Darren in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing today, brother?
I'm blessed, man. How about you?
Man, I am so blessed. I'm thankful, my brother. I can't complain.
Good. Praise God.
Thank you. Praise God. I was calling in because you asked what has been helping us stick with the Word of God. It's this great app on an Android phone called YouVerse. And now, I was the type of person growing up in school, I cheated. I used to always get people to do my homework. Now, since I've been reading this Bible on my phone, I have increased in so much knowledge. I have read the Bible from front to back, back to front. I'm talking about I'm running through scriptures, and I still can't tell the difference from reading a book and having this whole Bible on my phone. So I just want to call and encourage everybody, please download this Android Bible app on the phone, and I promise you, you will understand. You won't need a new version or nothing. You will be able to read the King James Version. God will increase your knowledge and your understanding, like to the point where it's to the point now where I'm teaching the elders at my church, and I'm just astonished that they didn't understand the things that God has understanding me. And God took me to the book of Joel, and he said, your son and daughter will prophesy, and your old man will dream dreams, and your young man will see visions. And I will pour out my spirit on my handmaidens and my servants. And I say, that's what's going on. That's why he was able to open me up, my brother. So I just want to encourage everybody, get that Bible on your phone. Glory to God.
Darren, awesome, man. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. That's a holy addiction to the Word there, isn't it? Great call, Darren. Thanks, man. I've got, if you don't have a YouVersion, you can get it on your iPhone, you can get it on your Android, and you've got all, I don't know how they do it, but you've got all these different versions available for free. So you pick the one you're most used to, or you check out some different ones, and then the way I have it set is every day, a new scripture comes up right on my screen. I used to have the weather there. I got rid of that. I can just go two screens down and find the weather, or I could stick my head out the window. But right there on the top half of my phone, as I look at it, there's a scripture. And so every day a new scripture comes up. Now, obviously, this is not the only reading of the Word I do, but it's so neat because it's just as if God is just saying this. And I just look at the Word, and through the day, I'll look at it a few more times and meditate on it. Every little thing helps. Every little thing helps. And you might just find yourself hooked, like Darren. 866-34-TRUTH. Lee in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. Yes, I also would like to share what keeps me focused. And there are two things. One is, some years ago, I decided that I was going to take God at his word. And I just decided that his word is there, his word is truth, and I'm going to live as though it is truth. And so I started putting things into practice that I was reading in the Bible. And it hasn't been easy, but it's been something that I've been doing regularly, and I thank God for it. After the Bible, the biggest help for me has been books by Andrew Murray. I love his books. I love all of his books. I've read many of his books, and I read them over and over and over again. And they're not easy to read, some of them. But one of my favorites is Absolute Surrender. Mm-hmm. And I read that book over and over again. And I also share these books with people. And these are the things that have helped me.
Yeah, Lee, I'll tell you, if everybody did just that, those two things, read the Word first, right, before we read other things, get into other things, mm-hmm. read the Word first, and then read some books by Andrew Murray. I'll tell you, there would be a spiritual revolution in the church. You know sometimes why I'm hesitant to read Andrew Murray? Because every line I want to underline, and every line convicts me, and every line challenges me, but it only points in one direction, on your knees before the Lord, seeking Jesus, and he lays it out, says, look, confess it as sin. Confess prayerlessness as a sin.
Yes.
Recognize it's a sin, and then come to God in need and rely on his grace to make the difference. Yes. So I'm saying it to kind of preach to myself again here.
Our church, there is becoming a revolution, because I teach Sunday school and women's Bible study and those kinds of things. And somehow or another, along with the Bible course, some of the things that I'm learning through Andrew Murray comes to, what has happened with him is he's helped me to understand from the Bible what I read, and I can teach it more clearly.
Yeah, absolutely, Lee. And that's the thing. Just as our last caller said, when we really get into the Word and really open our hearts to God, He gives us wisdom. He gives us insight. And then as we share it with others, that life cycle continues. Great call, great advice. Thank you for it, Lee. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. You know, we know there are problems and people struggling, but there's a lot of health. There are a lot of people going after the Lord. There are a lot of people connecting with the Lord, and it gets contagious. Come on, keep the calls coming. I love it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm loving these calls. I'm loving hearing the overflow of your lives, encouraging others to go after the Lord. Come on, let's provoke each other to jealousy. Let's provoke each other to jealousy. Wow, I want what you have. Wow, you've got that relationship with the Lord. Wow, the Lord's speaking to you through His Word. Wow, you're really meeting with Him in prayer. I want that. The door is open. The door is open. The Lord says, seek Him while He may be found. Jesus says that whoever comes to Him, He will not cast out, and assures us that the Father will draw people to Him. 866-34-TRUTH. We're focused today on this Tuesday, this day of teaching. We're focused on what matters most, building intimate, deep relationship with the Lord. I'm going to go back to the phones in a moment. I was just shown something, brought a big smile to my face. Whenever a new torchbearer signs up as a monthly supporter, folks that sow at least $25 or more per month into our ministry, and we in turn send them a new CD message every month, give them free access to our online classes, and then a 15% discount in our online bookstore. So we sow back every way that we can. When they sow into us and a new torchbearer signs up, I have the joy of signing a book to them that we send them as a gift. And one of the great joys I have is coming in and having a pile of books on my desk with names of new torchbearers that I can inscribe. And we have gotten a great response from so many of you as we demonstrate to the radio stations that have us on and put their trust in us that we are reliable and that we are faithful and that we'll meet every obligation and enable us to expand many more places. Why do I say that now? I say it because I'm determined to seek the Lord and do what's right and not rely on gimmicks and not rely on some fundraising company that's going to play games with people's emotions and promise them all kinds of things. I'm not going to rely on the arm of flesh for the work of the Spirit. I'm determined. God called me to be on the radio. God called me, spoke to me years ago. I journaled almost 18 years ago that I was to be on national talk radio. I know what He's called me to do. I know He's equipped me for this moment to serve many of you and to be a help in your lives. And it's my privilege. It's my joy. If you say, would you pay money to do it? We do pay money to do it. Exactly. And I'm convinced that as we honor the Lord and put Him first and do what's right, that He's going to back us, and that together we'll have an army of supporters that are really making a difference here in America and even around the world. I want to remind you that the needs in our society are urgent. We'll be talking tomorrow about some things that you really want to hear about. Eric Metaxas, who spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast, a dear friend, best-selling, New York Times best-selling author, what a door the Lord opened for him. He's going to be on in the first hour. And just now the ruling came, if you haven't heard it, that the Circuit Court, Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, ruled 2-1 today that California's Proposition 8, which defined again for the second time by the voters that union marriage is the union of a man and a woman, is now struck down by the court. Proposition 8 served no purpose, the court said, and had no effect other than to lessen the status and human dignity of gays and lesbians in California. What a ridiculous decision and what ridiculous wording, but exactly what we've been expecting, so that this will ultimately go to the Supreme Court. Friends, this is going to be the Roe v. Wade of the issue of marriage, and it's happening on our watch, right in front of our eyes. What does it mean? It means we got to get close to the Lord. We got to walk with the Lord like never before. Know him, make him known, and live this thing out. People say, just lead people to Christ. No, make disciples and live as a disciple. Disciples live differently. So what's helped you keep your focus, develop intimacy with the Lord? We'll stay in Boston for a little while. Stephanie in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hey, you're on the air.
Oh, great. What I wanted to tell you was the thing that's made the most difference in my life is prayer. I was, you know, no matter what situation you're in, either good or bad, and I was in a bad situation for a while, and I just kept praying, and I'm talking for years and years and years. And all of a sudden, you know, you don't feel it every single day that a lot of changes are being made, but if you pray before you read the word, and you pray for your unbelief, and you pray for wisdom, and you pray for faith, you know, God will bring you there incrementally.
So you found, as you went to the Lord and said, I have need here, I'm weak here, I need help here, that the Lord met you there, and just like he saves us, he walks with us, and he helps us deepen our faith, deepen our prayer life. You actually found that happen in your own life.
Most definitely, in my life, my husband's life, and in my daughter's life. You know, my husband was in a bad way, and I prayed for a defining moment, and he got one, not one that I would have picked, but God brought him to his knees, and we ended up in a church, and everything is so different. And then I want to finish with Zephaniah 3:17.
Yes, please read it.
The Lord your God is with you.
Yes.
He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. You know, God's longing for a relationship with us, and that's what I've been learning over the past week especially.
Well, yeah, wonderful. Stephanie, you keep building on that. It's not that he's some distant God that you have to somehow reach out to and make accessible. He's drawn near, and as we honor him, he really takes delight. Just think of it. He enjoys our company as our hearts open to him. Stephanie, thanks for the call, and to you and your husband, keep growing stronger in Jesus. Hey, friends, everyone on hold, stay with us, because I'm going to be pressing into John 15 on the other side of the break with our second hour of broadcasting. Those who will be leaving us, remember, you can listen online at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. I am encouraged because Jesus is Lord. I look at things sometimes that are mountains, but I'm encouraged because the Lord has a purpose. I'm encouraged because he who began the good work will bring it to completion. I'm encouraged because being on the air, doing Jewish outreach, standing for moral cultural revolution through the gospel, seeking to help do our part in the Great Commission, raise up, send out laborers around the world, this wasn't my idea. It wasn't your idea. The things that he's called you to do, they're not your idea, and now you have to appeal to God to back your idea. No, Jesus said that when we are united with him and his words are in our heart, that we ask what we will, it'll be done for us. In other words, our hearts are in union and unity with him. And as we pray, it's his will to bring those things to pass. So get in harmony with God and expect him to back you. Another opportunity, friends, to stand with us. We have a limited window open where every gift you give will be multiplied and will go 100%, every dime, straight into this radio outreach to make our voice heard all over America. Together, we're making a difference in many lives. The testimonies keep coming in and bringing smiles to our hearts as we hear what the Lord is doing and how he's allowing us to touch you. So here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, or online, AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage, you can click donate. Remember, every gift that comes in gets multiplied. Every $10 becomes $15. Every $100 becomes $150, and it's going to one place only. You look at our books, you see how we operate. It'll bring a smile to your face when you see how far your money goes to reach so many people. So stand with us today, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line: one thing matters more than any other thing. One thing demands our first and foremost attention, and that is knowing the Lord, knowing Jesus, being intimate with God. Put your relationship with him first. Everything else will fall into place. Well, we've been talking about the danger of following sensationalistic teachings and getting caught up with every kind of fad. Today, we center on the vine. Today, we center on abiding in Jesus.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What a joy to talk about Jesus. What a joy to have it as the center of your agenda, to know him and to make him known. You want to boil everything down in our lives, as simple as can be? What are we called to do? What are we called to be? To know him and to make him known. To be disciples and to make disciples. To dive into the life of God and to share that life with others. That's why we're here. That's what we're made to do. And as we really walk in intimacy with him, and understand what Jesus means when he calls us friends. Wow. Friends. Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. When we understand that, wow, all we can do is say, Lord, here I am, your friend. Here I am, Father, your son, to serve you, to love you, to give you my all. The response from our hearts when we receive his all is to return our all to him, the least we can do. And what joy there is in the midst of trials, tests, challenges, what joy there is in knowing him. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire on this Tuesday, where we focus on the word teaching Tuesday, the word apologetics, practical living. And as we've talked about negative extremes, sensationalistic teaching, false teaching, we want to talk about what matters most. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, Ask Dr. Brown. .org. Click on The Line of Fire. I asked a question last hour and got some great, great calls. I was sitting here smiling, listening to the calls, encouraged by the enthusiasm and by the testimonies. And a simple question. What helps you? What helps you keep your focus on the Lord? There are 1,001 distractions. I mean, we all know about the distractions. There's just the busyness of life, the busyness of work, family, the busyness of ministry, the seduction of all the distractions in the entertainment world and online and everything else that could get our attention, the worries, concerns of this life. There are obstacles that we find spiritually when we try to press in. There are a lot of things that can distract us. But God made plain as a principle, if we seek him first, if we seek him first, if we put seeking God ahead of anything and everything else, then all the other things will be added to us. Is that not what the Lord said? Is that not what he promised? Is that not a biblical principle? First hour, catch it later online. I talked about Philippians 3. We went through a number of those verses. And, well, I could do it all over again, but we move now into John 15. To me, one of the most central passages in Scripture. In fact, Mary Kate, I want to get your call right after the break because what you're saying ties in with where I'm going. We know in the New Testament that the authors of the New Testament quoted certain passages more than others. And sometimes it was because of points they were making about Jesus fulfilling prophecy. And for example, out of the 5 books of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy is quoted more than any of the other books. And out of the prophetic books, Isaiah is quoted more than any other. And what's called the section of the writings, which is Psalms, Proverbs, Job, and some other books in the Old Testament, Psalms is quoted more than any other book. And then say within Psalms, Psalm 110 is quoted a lot. Psalm 2 is quoted a lot. What I'm saying is that the entire Bible is inspired, but there are some passages that take on special significance or a special centrality. And to me, John 15 is one of those where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We're going to open that up today, right here.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, don't want to forget to mention an important new article I have on townhall.com. So go there today when you have the opportunity and read it. It will be eye-opening for you. Tolerance is still not a two-way street. Tolerance is still not a two-way street at townhall.com. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. Focus, focus, focus. What matters most? Focus, focus, focus. Why does God have us here? What matters most? That there is the pull, the swirl of this world that gets us away from real focus. I battle it in a unique way because from the moment I wake up in the morning to the moment I fall asleep, I am engaged in God's work. I don't mean I don't take a break or chill or just hang out with family or something, but there's this constant focus on God's work, on writing books, on preaching, ministering, teaching, on putting out materials, on reaching more people more effectively, and so on. I'm constantly focused on it, but that can actually compete with just deepening intimacy with the Lord. It's one thing to focus on the work of the Lord. It's another thing to focus on the Lord of the work. I once journaled that I was spending too much time in busy activity for the Lord and not enough time focusing on the beauty of the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm all for being practical. I'm all for going about doing the work. That's not the issue. I'm all for stirring people to get out of some spiritual laziness where all they're doing is contemplating spiritual truths and not touching anyone or helping anyone. I just believe that everything flows out of knowing Him and that we can be super busy, but if it's not based on intimacy with Him and it's not based on His life flowing through us, nothing of eternal value will be accomplished. So how do we keep our focus? I'm going to read through John 15 verse at a time. And comment on them and talk to you about them, 866-34-TRUTH. But if you have something in your own life that has helped you keep your focus, please share it with our listeners. So before we get back into John 15, Mary Kate in Portland, thanks for hanging on from the first hour. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Yes, my scripture verses go on the wall now. The Lord said, post them on the wall because you're not giving me your whole heart and you get caught in all these thoughts. Take those thoughts captive and put the word on the wall and in everywhere that you are centered in the house. And so the latest one I have now, it is awesome. It says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Jeremiah 33:3.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and it's a time when Jeremiah is confined and it's a bad situation. So Mary Kate, tell me some of the places you have these different verses and how many there are, or what some of the other verses are.
Well, over the years I've written prayers out in Scripture, and the latest one. Well, my place to put them up now. The Lord said, I want you to take those out and put them up. Now, I use them for Scripture, the Holy Spirit for witnessing, mm-hmm. and He brings it up into my heart, those Scriptures that I have been reading over the years, prayers for family, prayers to the Lord. But now He's saying, I want your whole heart. I want you to put the Word on the wall, and it's in the kitchen. That's where I do a lot of my main work. I live alone,
uh-huh.
so it's awesome because I'm in a new environment, and all my thoughts have been going to readjusting here. He said, you're not giving me your whole heart.
Yeah,
and said,
it's an understandable thing. You're by yourself, readjusting, getting settled, a lot of things that can be important. But He's saying, put me first, and everything else will fall into place.
Well, I love Him so much, and I said, Lord, I want to know you with my whole heart, and that's what I'm doing. So it's concentrating on Him. Holy, undevoted, undisturbed.
That's Mary Kate. That's wonderful, and I bet every time you see that Jeremiah verse, it's as if God is giving you that invitation afresh, isn't it?
Oh, amen. Amen. And, oh, yes, he gives me new revelation every time I review his word,
yeah.
whatever it is. And,
wonderful. Hey, Mary-Kate, thanks for sharing that.
My
and
pleasure.
Thanks for sharing your love for the Lord. That speaks to so many other listeners. God bless you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. Amen. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Loving him. Some people feel they hear his voice more intimately than others. Some people have more emotion in the relationship. Some relate in different ways. But I want to make plain that knowing Jesus is not an intellectual proposition. Do you marry someone based just on an intellectual proposition? Well, according to the computer printout, we're compatible and we'll do better than most couples. And no, you build a relationship. I'm talking about, and there are countries where you arrange marriages, but even in an arranged marriage, if the thing's going to succeed, you build a relationship. That's what everything comes down to. Relationship with God is the fountain from which every blessing flows. Jesus says, I am the true vine. The nation of Israel was often pictured as a vine in Scripture, but was often a corrupt vine, often an unreliable vine. Isaiah 5 lays it out most plainly. Jesus embodies the destiny of Israel. It does not mean that the church becomes the new Israel and displaces the old. The promises to Israel remain, and the New Testament reinforces that. It's that Jesus embodies the mission and destiny of Israel as the ultimate Israelite himself and says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Okay, pruning is not fun. Many of you know that I am not an outdoorsman. I love being outside or playing sports, things like that outside. But I am not a hunter, fisher, camper type of person. Nor am I a gardener. Now, Nancy is an amazing gardener and has all kinds of skills and knowledge in many, many different areas of life, practical and theoretical, that I totally lack. When we lived in Inwood, right next to Kennedy Airport, the border of Long Island and Queens, and in fact, when the planes would come over the house would shake. We were that close to the airport. Conversations had to stop. It was an interesting kind of place to live because planes came over quite a few times during the day. And we lived there, and the previous owners of the house, is the first house that we bought back in 1980. And the owners of the house were an Italian couple, and as many older Italians, they have a background with gardening. The men spend a lot of time gardening, often have gardens where they produce vegetables and things that they use in their cooking. And so he had these beautiful rose bushes around the fence outside the house, you know, every X number of feet, these beautiful rose bushes. And I knew Nancy loved the rose bushes. So I came home one day, like, oh no, oh, what happened? Some guy, some vandal or something came and hacked oh no, I can't believe this. Somebody hacked these things up. They're mutilated. They look terrible. I thought Nancy probably didn't go out and see it. Got to tell her. And I come in the house. I said, hon, did you see what happened to the rose bushes? She goes, yeah, the gardener came. I said, what? She said, the gardener came and pruned them. I said, that's pruning? That's what pruning looks like. She said, oh, yeah. And they'll grow back much fuller because of that. And, of course, she knows how to prune herself. But here we had a gardener that came and did it. It's like, that's what pruning looks like. Okay. You know, when you get pruned by God, you get cut back. You get cut back so that you are less than what you were, with the goal being that you can become more than what you were. But here Jesus says that the branches that bear no fruit get cut off. The branches that bear fruit get cut back. One of my pastor friends in New Jersey said many years ago, in the kingdom, everybody gets the knife. Some get cut off. Others get cut back. I'd rather be pruned than cut off. Pruning's painful. Pruning can expose sin in your life. Pruning can expose weakness. Pruning can, cut us back in ways that are really humbling. The good news is we'll grow back much, much more fruitfully, much more beautifully, much more fully. And then Jesus says, you are already clean, which is ties in with the word for pruning, because of the word I've spoken to you, that there is that initial cleansing that took place. And then these words to every one of us, remain in me, remain united with me. King James, abide in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Oh, but with him and in him, all things are possible. Back with your calls and more from John 15 today on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, I just want to share this testimony with you from Stan. It was sent in, and staff just showed me this letter. Dr. Brown, I spend much of my day in my vehicle as a result of my work. Mid-2011, I heard you on 960 AM and was touched by your heart and passion. This is Belmont, North Carolina. Your heart and passion for the gospel and for those far from the Lord. I am challenged in my thinking when I hear Line of Fire either by radio or in the car from my home. Hey, Stan, if you're listening right now, big smile. Not only do we believe in supporting the local church, but look for ways to support those who are on the mission to reach the lost. You recently indicated someone had provided funding, and you were praying to match the gift so that you can continue moving forward in ministry. Enclosed is our gift to help support the match. We hope to continue in ministry with you in 2012. May the ministry of ICN, Israel Church and Nations, be especially fruitful in 2012. And it's signed by Stan, for Stan and his wife. Thank you so much for sending this. Thank you for the kind words. I'm so blessed to know that I can be talking to you, with you, as you're in your vehicle. I always have the joy of meeting truck drivers who get to listen to the program a lot as they're on the road. And thanks for standing with us. I know there are financial challenges for everyone, but I want to assure you, as you honor the Lord, he'll honor you. And if you do what he prompts you to do, it'll make a difference. So I want to give the number once again for those wanting to stand with us. We have a limited time where gifts that come in are being multiplied, so every $10 becomes $15, every $50 becomes $75, every $100 becomes $150, and we're putting everything we can towards this so that we can take advantage of this generosity. We're probably about a fifth of the way towards our goal, so it's a good big step, but if many more of you will stand with us, it'll make a massive difference. So don't think, well, I can't do much. Everybody do what you can, whatever the Lord prompts you to do, and you'll never make a better investment in the kingdom. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or just go online, askdrbrown.org. John 15, Jesus says, and I want to repeat this, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Mike Brown, what is it you don't get about that statement? Mike Brown, what is it that is not clear in this statement? Yes, I am preaching to myself. I'm looking at this, and could Jesus have made it any more clear? Don't worry about, well, is he talking about losing salvation? Don't think of it in terms of salvation. Think of it in terms of relationship and fruit bearing. And obviously, that's an essential part of salvation. But don't get caught up on once saved, always saved questions. Can you lose your salvation questions? Don't even think about that right now. Focus on what he's saying. Remain in me. Remain united with me, and I'll remain united with you. If it happened automatically, if it was just automatic and forever that we're always intimately related to him, we just have to believe it, then he wouldn't have said what he said. I heard one guy many years ago say, you know what it's like? It's like you get on the plane takes off, You throw the seat back and have a Diet Coke and go to sleep. I appreciate that vote of confidence in the Lord, except that's not how relationships are built. Remain in me. Remain united in me. How? How do we do that? We do it by purposing to spend time with him. We do it by communing with him. We do it by reading his word and meditating on his word. We do it by walking in obedience to him. And he promises, I'll remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I mean, how could Jesus have expressed that with any clearer image? Here's a branch. It's connected to a vine. It's connected to a tree. Then it gets severed and cut off. It's laying there on the ground, on the dirt. It's not going to bear any fruit. That branch on the vine is not going to produce any more grapes. That branch on an apple tree is not going to produce any more apples, and whatever's on there is going to dry up and die. Neither can you bear fruit, Jesus says, unless you remain in me. And then the fruit that we bear will be the fruit of the Spirit, life in the Spirit, and it will also be the fruit of good works, good kingdom works. What do you do? What has helped you in your own life in the Lord that has helped keep your focus and helped you walk faithfully with him? Deborah in Maple Grove, Minnesota, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks so much. One thing that really helps me is to write stuff down in journals, like a scripture that God really speaks to you through, or even something like you said on the air yesterday. At the end of the day, you were talking about your relationship with your wife and how, you know, she just wants you to be her husband and you just want her to be your wife, the simplicity of that. And to me, that was, you know, like the heart of the Lord speaking toward his bride. So I just wrote that down. And, you know, someday down the road when I'm really discouraged or off track, I'll go back and look at those things and just, oh, yeah, that revives your heart, helps you get back on track.
Yes, absolutely. You know, Deborah, in 1983, I was talking with a pastor, and he said to me, do you journal? I said, no. He said, start journaling. He just gave me a directive, start journaling. And, you know, I realized there's so many things the Lord has done, ways he's intervened, things he's spoken, directives that he's given. And when we don't journal them, we can really forget about them. And maybe something was meant to be a monument in our lives, something that we went back to and remembered, something that drew us to worship, and we kind of lose track of it. Or something he really spoke to us that's a word of wisdom that will keep us from straying, and we don't write it down. And we lose track of it. So documenting things, journaling, when we have those words of assurance from the Lord, or where scripture becomes of special value, and then go back and reviewing it, absolutely right. It's a very important thing that helps us in our walks with the Lord. And some people like to journal just each day, put some thoughts down. Others journal when it's something of real spiritual significance and when something really opens up in their lives. So great, important idea, and thanks for sharing it with our listeners. I appreciate it, Deborah.
Thanks so much.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
You know, when I was talking about my relationship with Nancy, you know, she doesn't have to go out and get a new outfit every week. So it's like, oh, now I really love you. You know what I'm saying? I could wear the same outfit for 6 months if it was clean. She could wear the same outfit for 6 months. It is not going to affect our love for each other, devotion to each other. But, you know, there are key things that happen in your lives together, and they become things you build on, you grow into. So let's keep our focus. I'm going to help you do that. We're going to talk some things through in the next half hour. So stay with us. If you don't have my book, 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices, that's our special resource offer this week, two at a reduced price or free shipping on one. So call or order that. You'll find it amazingly helpful, answering so many of the questions you ask in a practical, edifying way. 1-800-278-9978. That's the number to call to order. 1-800-278-9978. And join our growing army of torchbearers. Become a monthly supporter. Hold our hands up. Hold my hands up. Say, Mike, we believe in what you're doing. We want to encourage you. Sow into the ministry again for limited time. Whatever comes in is being multiplied by a gracious, anonymous donor. This is a critical and wonderful time for you to stand with us. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the radio, on the broadcast, on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. We talked yesterday about some extremes, some sensationalistic teaching, some prevalent errors that are out there. But today, my joy to focus on what really matters, to focus on Jesus, knowing him, making him known, bearing fruit, walking in intimate relationship with him. The first hour, I went through Philippians 3. Now we're looking at John, the 15th chapter. To me, one of the most fundamentally important chapters in the Bible. So join me on this Tuesday, which means a day of teaching emphasis, opening up the Word, practical living, apologetics, doctrine, and today the thing that matters most, knowing Jesus, making him known, quote, abiding in the vine, to use the terminology many of us are familiar with from olden days. If you have things in your own life that have helped you develop intimacy with the Lord, help you keep your focus, because there are always going to be distractions that pull us away from what matters most, give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, you can catch the whole show, which you've missed, later today at AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. I heard the story years ago that a couple went to hear a famous preacher in London. This is in the 1800s. And when they left the service, someone overheard them as they walked down the steps of the cathedral saying, "What a sermon." The husband was commenting to his wife, "What a sermon." That night, they went to Metropolitan Tabernacle and heard Charles Spurgeon preach. The same couple was heard leaving that service and the husband exclaiming, "What a savior. What a savior." William Carey, father of modern missions, labored with great sacrifice in India for decades. Here he was, repaired shoes and worked on shoes, you know, made a living and felt called, stepped out, obeyed the Lord, had that famous motto, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And here he is now after decades of labor in India. He's learned multiple languages. He's a professor. He's a botanist. He's brought moral reform and outlawed widow burning. When a husband would die, he's going to leave a widow behind, and now they're going to burn his body. Often the widow would be burned alive with him, and this was considered to be for her benefit because she'd have no one to care for or provide for her afterwards, and she would have a better reincarnation. He was outraged by it. He worked to see that outlawed. Amazing, amazing accomplishments. Was involved in publishing, translating and publishing the Bible into something like 35 languages and dialects in India. Amazing. And as he was getting old and getting close to death, he began to hear more and more people talking about William Carey. William Carey became a legend. William Carey. I've got a book that used to belong to William Carey. I've got this. Yeah, this Carey used to have this. And he said, "Look, I'm just a worm." He said, "When I'm gone, don't talk about Carey. Talk about Carey's Savior. Don't talk about Carey. Talk about Carey's Savior." Do you know that it is the purpose of God, as laid out in Colossians, the first chapter, that in all things Jesus would have the supremacy to the glory of God the Father? God sends his Son into this world so that all attention, focus can come to him. And as I've described it, like a divine magnet that draws all praise, adoration up to God the Creator, God the Father. And Jesus made plain in John 15, he's the vine, his Father is the gardener. Every branch in him that bears no fruit gets cut off. Every branch that bears fruit gets pruned, gets cut back so it can be even more fruitful. He says, "Remain in me, I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But with me, in me," Jesus says, "all things are possible." Back to our focus, Jesus, in a moment.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Years ago, I was spending time with Leonard Ravenhill. Became a dear, dear friend the last 5 years of his life. Powerful influence in my life. And a man deeply devoted to prayer, intimate with the Lord, tremendous revivalist. As he preached, deep conviction would come and people would be left weeping and crying out to God, and they'd have an encounter with God that changed them. And Brother Len told me, as we were spending time at his home one day, I'd go down there once or twice a year and spend a few days together with him, and then we'd talk weekly by phone, and he'd often send me letters, which became harder and harder to read. He had several strokes, and he was now in his mid to late 80s, and reading the letters became kind of an art, but I got it down. I still have a big, big stack, of course, cherish these, a big stack of letters from him. And he told me he was watching a famous TV evangelist one day, and the TV evangelist said to the people watching, he was raising money, and I'm sensitive to that, I'm doing that very thing on the broadcast. And he said to the people, without money, you can do nothing. Len turned to me and said, I thought Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. The fact is, with him and in him is everything we need. Isn't it the truth? 866-34-TRUTH. What have you done in your own life that has helped you keep your spiritual focus that you could share with others to help them keep your spiritual focus? I'll go back to the phones in a moment. But listen to what Jesus says here. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch, John 15:6, that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, you can read that in terms of, if we do not maintain relationship with the Lord, our fellowship is broken with him, that we are cast away and destroyed. At the very least, he is giving a strong warning about the danger of not maintaining relationship with him. Now, this is the same Jesus who constantly encourages us of his keeping power and of the fact that no one can pluck us out of his hand. But he also says that his sheep, the ones to whom he gives that promise, are those who know him and follow him. Listen to what he says now. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. So I can just ask for like $1 billion. I can just ask for like 10 brand new $500,000 cars. I can just ask for a palace. No, you wouldn't be doing that. In other words, when you are united with him, remaining in him, abiding in him, how is that done? It's not done by just, okay, I'm abiding in my chair as I'm on the radio here. No, it's talking about something where there's intention, where there is purpose, where you prioritize relationship with him and being with him and in him. So time in prayer, time in his word, time in worship, meditating on him, sharing the good news about him with others, walking in obedience. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Your attitude will be changed. You won't just be asking for every random thing. You won't be asking that your team will win a sports event. You won't be asking that you can win the lottery. Instead, you'll be asking for things in harmony with his will, and you better believe it'll be done. Isn't that the truth as expressed in Psalm 37:4? That as we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our heart because our desires now come into conformity with him. We're not praying judgment on our enemies, we're praying blessing on our enemies. We're not praying riches for personal gain, we're praying riches for kingdom use. We're not praying that we will be exalted so we can be somebody, we're praying that Jesus will be exalted, and however we can serve that, let it be. Psalm 1, the one who whatever he or she puts their hand to succeeds is the one who takes delight in God's law, God's Torah, and meditates in it day and night. That's the one who, by having mind, heart, life renewed, is doing what pleases God and therefore is blessed. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. What's the proof of discipleship? Reproducing. proof of discipleship is reproducing. We've been born to reproduce, as Dawson Trotman, founder of the Navigators, put it many, many years ago. And that reproducing comes naturally from living in the vine, abiding in the vine. Do you think that the branches are fighting straight? Come on, boys. Come on, another grape. Come on. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. One more grape. Come on, come on, come on. Oh, it's hard. We're gonna get that grape. Is it like a woman giving birth to a child in a difficult labor? And that, no, it comes naturally. And God bless all the ladies in labor, about to be in labor. We ask God for blessing, grace on all of you. Sorry, didn't mean to put a scare or something negative into your thinking. But the fact is, bearing fruit comes naturally when we're in the vine. Bearing fruit comes naturally. We're going to look more and more like the Lord. We're going to sound more and more like the Lord. There's going to be more and more joy in our lives. There's going to be more and more love in our lives. There's going to be more and more ability to touch more and more people. We're going to be more and more motivated to do his work. It's wonderful. It's a cycle of life. We give away what we have, and more life gets poured back into us. We have more to give. We're trusted with more. We abide in him more. He becomes more and more real. We feel a dependence on him more and more. And what I find is the more time I spend with him, the more I need to spend time with him, and the more I desire to spend time with him, the less time you feel more detached. The more time taking his word, feasting on his word, the hungrier and hungrier I get, the less, the more the Bible can be just another book. Seek him first. Jesus said, seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first. All these other things will be added to you. What matters most? Can I ask you in your life, what matters most? I know we have to work jobs. I know we have to raise families. I know we have sacred responsibilities in this world. But what really consumes your heart? 866-34-TRUTH. You know, if you were watching the Super Bowl and you were a big fan of the New England Patriots, you're probably just heartbroken that next day. You feel some kind of pain on the inside, you know, reading about people or hearing from them. That's how they feel. That's in the midst of working a job. That's in the midst of going to school. That's in the midst of changing diapers and vacuuming the floor. In other words, that thing is so important to that person that it dominates their hearts and minds. That's what our relationship with the Lord should be. Dominating our hearts and minds, just like you just had a baby and it's already a baby and, you know, the husband's at work and can't wait to get home and see the baby's just smiling during the day while he's doing his job. We can have that kind of relationship with the Lord where in the midst of everything else we're doing, he's central. He's the dominating force. He's when I say dominating force, I don't mean taking over, crushing. I mean the one that's drawing us and whom we desire more than any other. 866-34-TRUTH. Alan in Riverview, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, my mishpachah. I appreciate you so much. And a quick aside, and then I want to make my point. My dad was raised in Pennsylvania where orchard, you know, apple orchard farmers grow apple trees. And it's common practice that they would, and I don't know if you know this, they would prune each other's trees so that if you were beside me, I would come over to prune yours and you would come to prune mine, because if we pruned our own, we would not prune it deep enough.
No, I didn't know that. Fascinating. Fascinating.
It's fascinating stuff. And now my point, I'm in a men's group, and it's called Man in the Mirror on Tuesday mornings, and we've been doing something to keep on focus as men, and this texting craze has its advantages. Just about every morning, two of my other brothers and I text each other, making sure that we've put on our full armor of God. And I mean, if this is truly a war that we're in, and I think it is a spiritual war that we're in right now, we need to put on our armor first thing in the morning, especially as men. And I speak as a man, and I've lived with all women. I've got three daughters and a wife. But they're fighting a different spiritual battle than I am. And we encourage each other by text. Is your armor on? Because how dare you as a Christian man go into this world on a daily basis and not be armed and ready for Satan and all the attacks that come? And then especially after having all that defensive stuff on, have the sword of the Spirit, which is, you know, is the Word of God. That's our only offensive thing that we can come at Satan with is the word.
So,
and,
Alan,
it's been working great.
Just to jump in, because we've just got 30 seconds, wonderful call, wonderful principle. So the key is obviously you're starting your day consciously with God and with a focus, but you are consciously doing this. In other words, you're praying this through. You're saying, Lord, I put this on. I do this. And then you're consciously putting your life in God as you're doing it and building that relationship. So it's a wonderful thing to do. And obviously, as you do it, it has more and more meaning. I wish we could talk more about it, but thank you, sir, for the call. Keep putting the armor on, and thank you for the pruning insight. I appreciate it, man. 866-34-TRUTH. Great calls. Edifying stuff. Back with more.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I remember hearing David Ravenhill, Leonard Ravenhill's son, great teacher and author in his own right. He was teaching on Song of Solomon, and he was in the fifth chapter, where the bride, the beloved, says, O daughters of Jerusalem, as she's out looking for her lover, I charge you, if you find my lover, what will you tell him? Tell him I'm faint with love. And the daughters of Jerusalem answer, how is your beloved better than others? Most beautiful of women. How is your beloved better than others that you charge us so? And she says, my lover is radiant and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. His head is pure as gold. His hair is wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the water streams, washed in milk, mounted like jewels. His cheeks are like beds of spice, yielding perfume. His lips are like lilies dripping with myrrh. His arms are rods of gold set with chrysolite. His body is like polished ivory decorated with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of pure gold. His appearance is like Lebanon, choice as its cedars. His mouth is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovely. This is my lover. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. To which they say, where has your lover gone, most beautiful of women? Which way did your lover turn that we may look for him with you? That's how our relationship with the Lord should be, so that when we show and declare who he is, his beauty, his greatness, the blessedness of who this Jesus Yeshua is, that others say, we want him too. We want him too. 866-34-TRUTH. Anonymous caller from Salem, Oregon. Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Are you there?
I'm here. You're very welcome.
Yes, I want to say that I'm so thrilled that you're preaching the Word of God on the air because God says in his Word, you know, his Word goes out and it doesn't come back void, but it does what God sent it for. That's so wonderful. And also, I wanted to say, the fact that you're Jewish, just I want to say as a Jewish man, I love you as a brother in the Lord, and I'm so happy you're on the air. And I wondered if you know a couple pastors who also support the Jewish people, specifically Larry Huck in Dallas, Texas. I don't know if you know him. He was my former pastor.
Yeah, don't know Larry personally. Know of him, of course, but don't know him personally.
Yes, he teaches our Jewish roots. He's in Dallas, Texas. And then also, do you know John Hagee?
Sure. Yeah, I know John more personally. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Wonderful. Well, you know, he has a Christians United, Christian United for Israel, which is a great thing. And so I know we don't have much time, so I just wanted to call in and say that I certainly support you, and I'm going to be sending you a financial support also. So keep up the good work, and know you're truly in God's will. And I sense that in my spirit. So.
Well,
speed ahead.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you for standing with us. Obviously, we are called to do the Lord's work, and I know he's with us, but it's a joint effort. It's listener supported. It's something that we all do together. So your gifts really help us bring the message of salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Help us pour into the body and edify the body and spark moral cultural revolution and raise up, send out missionaries. So God bless you. Thanks for standing with us.
And thank you for speaking and being a man of God with the love of Christ in your heart. It truly comes across in all you say and do. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Well, thank you. God bless you. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Antonio in Philadelphia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, God bless you, Pastor Brown. I first like to give honor to God, and also I'd like to thank God for your ministry. I talked to you about a different subject a while back, last year, and you directed me to a nice Bible-believing teaching church here in Philadelphia called Epiphany Fellowship. And I've been there. I'm going to actually be going through the new members class. But according to what the gentleman said about the topic, what keeps me focused on Jesus, I guess number one is thinking about the integrity and being true to myself and how and how I can basically share the gospel with others and what Christ has done in my life, and basically standing not on what, so to speak, what man says, but basically what God says in His Word. And that's what keeps me, focused on Christ. It's not what people say, but it's what God says that really matters the most to me.
Yeah, and I think Antonio, something that you mentioned that's really important, that the integrity, spiritual honesty. In other words, let's get real. God knows things anyway. And let's sometimes it's very helpful to me to get on my knees when I'm going to read the Word, get on my knees, open up the Scriptures, and pray as I'm reading for God to speak, for God to take any blinders off, for God to be wonderfully honest with me. And as He's wonderfully honest with me, then I can respond, because it's all out of love. It's out of love. And in other words, we can drift. We can impress others. We can impress ourselves. But as James, Jacob, the first chapter tells us, when we keep looking at the Word, then that's the thing that's going to help us. We look at it, and then we're doers, not hearers only. So, Antonio, thanks for the call, man. Keep bearing fruit for the Lord. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and Pastor Brown, man, I really thank God for you, man, and keep up the good work. And as the Lord blesses me and I increase, I would also, be prayerful as to the direction of God, to bless your ministry, and I do support what you're doing, and God bless you.
Well, thank you, Antonio. I appreciate that. God bless you, man. Hey, can I talk to you with total honesty, folks? I'm always honest with you, but I seek to use wisdom in terms of what I share and don't share because I'm speaking to many people through radio, and it's a sacred entrustment, and I'm very jealous over the time that I have on the air with you. But I just want to tell you what went through my head when Antonio said what he said. I know there are people hurting financially. I know there are people that, I know we have so much excess, most of us in America, but I know many are under pressure. And then there are many ministries around the world. There are many needs around the world. And I don't want to take advantage of anybody. And if I was having some massive salary here doing what I'm doing, and we were spending all kinds of money on unnecessary things, and I was encouraging you to send in funds, man, I could not do that with a clean conscience. I'm just telling you the truth. I'd be off radio in a heartbeat. I just could not do that. I know the labor is worthy of his hire, but this is all ministry work. The goal is not getting rich. The goal is touching the world and glorifying the Lord. And when I hear Antonio say as he's prospers more, he wants to pray about supporting us. You know what I say? It's worthy. It's worthy because the money makes a difference, because we're touching lives, because it's not going into some deep pockets we have. It's going into touching lives. So I want to invite you again. We're about 1/5 of the way towards our goal, which is great, because last week we were about 1/10 of the way. And we've got matching funds that'll be coming in that'll turn every $10 into $15, every $1,000 into $1,500. So we are jealously putting everything into this fund we can to meet our current radio obligations and to show all the stations we're on. Not only are we faithful and responsible, but we are ready to expand into many more. And together, it's going to happen. You watch and see what the Lord will do. So call us, stand with us, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go online, askdrbrown.org, to stand with us. Friends, my bottom line is very simple. There is nothing more important than remaining united in Jesus. There is nothing more important than developing a deeper relationship with the Lord. Without Him, we can do nothing. With Him, in Him, through Him, all things are possible.